Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present here this morning. This morning for our message, I've chosen to look at an Old Testament character. Just a question for the children. Maybe you can answer this. It probably would be pretty easy if I would ask you who was the fastest runner at school. I think probably some of you boys would know right quickly who the fastest runner in school is. But the question I have for you this morning is very similar to that, but it's not about in school. Who is the fastest runner in the Old Testament? The fastest runner in the Old Testament. Anyone know who that is? He's somebody you wouldn't want to race with because he'd left you way behind. Elijah. Thank you. You're right. Very good answer. Elijah is the fastest runner in the Old Testament. We're going to look at that story this morning and a number of other stories that surround the prophet Elijah. Elijah, the prophet of God, who was he? We know some of the stories about him by heart. We could tell them. Some of the other stories aren't quite as familiar, and my sermon this morning is to open our eyes and refresh our memory on who this prophet Elijah was. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. A lot of men in the Bible, men and women in the Bible, when we try to understand a little bit about them, we'd like to know something about who their parents were, what their lineage is, and the Bible often very clearly gives a lot of detail about that, but it doesn't give much at all about Elijah. We don't know anything about his childhood. Basically, what we have is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, here we go. We're diving right into what Elijah said. He's a man that showed up one day and he had something to say to Ahab. Now, if you remember any of the details of the king of Israel, Ahab, this is a very sad time in the life of the children of Israel. The sin and the wickedness that previews this in the chapters before, in the story of the children of Israel, how they have departed from God in serving the true and living God and worship idols and many other, much other wickedness is abounding here. And here comes Elijah. I'm not sure if this was the first time that Ahab had seen Elijah. I'm not sure. We're not told. But it simply says who he was, and then it says what he said. And you'll notice as we study his life this morning that that's what we know about Elijah. We know about what he said. We don't know a whole lot more. There are a few other things we'll glean as we go. But here's the first record, if I'm correct, of something that he said. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's it. That's all he had to say in this scene. declaration of a famine. We begin to learn to know a man by that declaration to the king of Ahab. Continuing, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, so here we have God speaking to Elijah, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and fish in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So Elijah knew that his declaration, and God knew that his declaration was going to be, was a great risk for Elijah. So the first thing we know about him, he gives this proclamation of a famine, and then God tells him where to hide. God tells him how he's going to get food. And you can go into a long study about how the ravens brought food to Elijah and find a lot of men who have written much about this account and distorted it in many ways. I like to just read it just as it says it here and believe it just the way it is said, even though it is very, very unlikely that a raven of all birds would bring you dinner and supper and breakfast. But that's what happened here. Where did they get their food? Where do ravens normally get their food? Well, they couldn't get it where they normally got it. But they got food, and they brought it to Elijah miraculously. For a long time, how long does it take to dry up a small creek? Well, quite a while. If it's got any good springs at all, and it's running water, you could probably live there for months. Maybe even a year. How long did he live there? I don't know. He lived there in solitude. A man of solitude, we will find Elijah is often. And here he's in solitude. He's hiding because of what he said. That one sentence he said to Ahab. In verses 8 to 16, we see that the river dried up, so there was no more water, so he had to move on, and God told him where to go. And he went to the widow of Zarephath. And you know the story well. I'm not going to read it. You can look at it there. How he came to this widow of all people, the destitute widow who had nothing. And Elijah came to her, and he asked her to make him something to eat. And she says that she was just getting ready to prepare the last of the meal that she had so that she and her son could eat it and then they would die. So that shows you something about the famine in the land, the terribleness of it. But she had a barrel of meal that was almost empty and a cruse of oil that was almost empty. And Elijah said, if you'll give me a cake first, if you'll prepare me a meal first, then the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil won't get empty. And it didn't. The story goes on to tell us that's how it worked. For how long again, I don't know. But probably a long period of time. The three of them lived out of that barrel of meal that was almost empty. And the cruse of oil that was almost empty. And every day there was a little more for the next meal. Later in the chapter, we have the son of the widow falling sick. And the Bible says there was no breath left in him. And the woman says, is it because of the sin that I committed years ago? Is that why you're letting my son perish? She was remembering something in her life that was not as it should have been. Destitution often brings people to remember things, to remember sins of the past. It brought that sin to remembrance. In verse 20, we have Elijah speaking. He has brought this young boy into his loft where he abode. And Elijah said, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, thou hast also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. The widow woman said, By this I know that you're a prophet of God. By this miracle of bringing my son back to life, I know you're a prophet of God. Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab. So 3 years have passed here with no dew and no rain. God says to Elijah, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So here's another man that feared God. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. No small task in a land destitute of food, feeding 100 men. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom. Note what he says here. No nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. Ahab has sent everywhere looking for you. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. So Ahab had looked everywhere for Elijah while he was by the brook Cherith and while he lived with the widow woman. But Ahab had not found Elijah. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered all the prophets together onto Mount Carmel. Notice the words of Elijah. Ahab says, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah says, No, it's not me that's troubling Israel. It's you, Ahab. That's the man Elijah. Then we have the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Verses 21 to 40 of chapter 18. Again, a story that's very familiar with you. A very good one to read. But we have all the prophets of Baal. And we have all the children of Israel gathered together. One reason I believe it was easy to gather them all together is because of the famine. They were desperate people that gathered at this scene. And you know the story, how the prophets of Baal call out to their God, cut themselves with knives, how that Elijah mocked them and said, maybe your God is sleeping. Call a little louder. And the day wore on, and how at the end Elijah quietly called to the God of heaven, and the God of heaven sent fire down and burnt his sacrifice. And then Elijah, and it seems as though Ahab may have joined him, went and killed all the prophets of Baal, slew them. So while Elijah was not a man of war, he was a man that knew how to use the sword. Chapter 19. Oh no, I missed the verse that I wanted there. Need to back up there. Forget about this fastest man, if you're still wondering about Elijah. The end of chapter 18. We have Elijah kneeling down and praying that God would send rain. And Elijah telling Ahab to go because it's going to rain. He said there is a sound of abundance of rain in verse 41. And Elijah went up to Mount Carmel after that. Took his servant along, and he prayed that God would send rain. And he told his servant in verse 44, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. So he's warning Ahab to hurry back to Jezreel because it's going to rain. And so Ahab went in his chariot. And I'm sure he drove rapidly because the rain was dark. The clouds and the wind were coming. It was evident that the storm was upon him. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And here we are, verse 46, the fastest man. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In Bible times, men wore robes. And so Elijah had to get his robe out of his robe so that he could run. And so he girded it up. And he ran. And he raced with Elijah, with Ahab. And Ahab had a head start in the chariot. But Elijah beat him there. He was a man that could run because of the blessing of God on his legs, I believe. Some commentators, again, would say that the Spirit of God lifted him up and simply took him there, but I prefer to think it happened just like the Bible said. He ran. He ran. And he met Ahab at the entrance of Jezreel. Chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "Let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. This was not what Elijah expected, I believe, after the confrontation with Baal and all the prophets being slain and the people saying, "We're going to serve the Lord." I don't think Elijah thought that the next day he would be fleeing for his life, but here he is. He's fleeing for his life. Verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." Okay, he's alone again. "And came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.' And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And God said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So Elijah is fleeing for his life, and he asked God to take away his life. He's discouraged. He sleeps. But the angel brings him food and says, Arise and eat. Twice he did that. Arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee. Elijah, there's too much ahead of you. There's too much to be done in your own strength. The journey is too great. Arise and eat. And it says that he lived off to the sustenance of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. What a miracle. He sees the wind and the fire and the earthquake, all things that surely made him fear, even though he was a man of the wilderness. But what got Elijah's attention was the still small voice. It wasn't the earthquake, wasn't the fire, it wasn't the wind that broke the rocks, but it was a still small voice. And he spoke to God there. And he told God, he said, I'm the only one left. I've done all these things for you. I've killed the prophets of Baal. I've done everything I know to do. The people say they believe, and yet they're still not ready to follow you, and yet the queen is still telling me she'll kill me if she can find me. That's the way it seemed to Elijah, but God said, no, you're not the only one left. There's still 7,000. There's still 7,000. And God gives Elijah something to do. In verses 15 to 18, he says, Go and return and perform 3 anointings for me. Now that's quite a task. Anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. Anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room. All 3 of them, Elijah, you go home and do all of them. And Elijah did that. He was a man of God that did listen to God's voice. Even in times of discouragement, he went and did what God told him to. Reading in verse 19, So Elijah departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And Elijah said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? All I did was throw my cloak over you. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Chapter 21, we have the familiar story of Ahab's desire for Naboth's vineyard and of Jezebel's evil plot to have Naboth slain, and he was slain. And Ahab got his vineyard selfishly. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in a following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Second Kings chapter 1. Second Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elisha the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them. So here comes Elijah meeting the messengers who are going to Beelzebub for answers. And God said, This is what you're to say. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. So there's two verses of what he had to say to these messengers along the road. And when the messengers turned back onto Ahaziah, I believe, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And the king said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. Elijah's on top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these thy 50 servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Elijah speaking, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Then we have chapter 2, which is a very familiar story again. I'm not going to read it. But we have the story of the last day of Elijah, when he is taken up into heaven by a whirlwind and Elisha is by his side. Verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah and Elisha, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Think about that. This man Elijah that you know by what we have looked at the scenes of his life, Elisha understood all these scenes and his power, his greatness. And Elijah said, what shall I do for thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What's Elisha saying? My father. He's referring to Elijah as his father. He's looking back at all the scenes, all the things that he saw Elijah do in his lifetime. And he's recognizing Elijah as his father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What's Elisha saying? Well, Elisha's saying that you, Elijah, have done in your time here in life, you have done as much or more than all the chariots in the army of Israel and all the horsemen of them. You, Elijah, have done more. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What can we learn from the life and character of Elijah? I believe we can learn courage. Think about Elijah taking on those 400 prophets of Baal in a public way and saying, "If you can call fire down, we'll worship Baal. If my God sends fire down, we'll worship him. It's all open." Courage. Think about him hiding in the wilderness in caves and out by the creek for months and years at a time alone, a man of courage. Think about him and his short little messages from God that God gave him, that he gave to people, powerful people that could take away his life, and he would just stand up and say it. Courage. We can learn courage from Elijah. We can learn faith from Elijah. Can you imagine pronouncing to King Ahab that there would be no dew or rain for years? Do you think Ahab believed that? I don't think so. He walked out of there not worried at all, but Elijah believed it. And a year or two later, Ahab believed it too. A man of faith. A man of faith that knelt in his room and said, "Let this child's soul come into him again." The faith that God would do that, and he did. We can learn zeal from Elijah. He says, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." And he was very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Are you and I this morning jealous for our God? That's a way that we can bless him. We can learn zeal from Elijah's indignation at religious compromise. His indignation. We live in a world of wickedness too. Does sin make you angry? at times it should. We can learn zeal from his passionate loyalty to God's words. In closing, two more things that we can learn about God when we study the life of Elijah. Elijah demonstrates this truth. God always has a man to match the hour. God always has a man to match the hour. We don't have any writings left. You can't turn in the Bible to the book of Elijah. You can turn in the Bible to many other Old Testament prophets, Amos and Isaiah, and they left writings for us. Elijah didn't leave them, but he was a man that God could use, even if he couldn't write. He was a man of the hour. God has such men for every situation in life. When wickedness develops into extraordinary proportions, God meets it with extraordinary measures. That's a fact in our world. We've seen it again and again in history. We see it in the life of Elijah. When wickedness develops into extraordinary proportions, God meets it with extraordinary measures. And may we be men of courage and faith and zeal that are ready to serve God in difficult times, say difficult things, and follow God's ways as we walk in life. Shall we kneel for prayer?